Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., where we try to provide a fun, informative way to learn, expand your skills, your understanding of hypnosis, and sometimes we'll cover some other topics too. And if you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right down below this video, we have all kinds of resources and links that support the program that we're doing for you. And I am joined right now with which could quite possibly be the last video program he ever does with me.
Aww.
L. Ron Ferguson. Now, let me tell you about L. Ron. That's right. Meredith is coming back. She's going to come back. We're probably going to have L. Ron do some more stuff. We'll think of some more projects. Maybe we'll continue this series with someone else. Who knows? Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley. We don't know yet. But let me tell you about L. Ron. He's a true one percenter. Best of the best of the profession. He really knows what he's doing. If you want to come to our office and have sessions with him, he's available. I'm also available. And we can just do great things together. And trying to keep it short this time because we have so much material to go through. We've been running along in the episodes. How's it going, L. Ron?
It's going good, Cal. And all this material that we've gone over has made me have to go so fast that apparently I developed a stuttering problem last episode. We'll see if somebody can help me with that.
Okay, I can help you with that.
Okay, good. Yeah.
If you got the money, honey, I got the time.
That's right. I wonder who I'd put in the chair for the forgiveness.
It'd probably be that mean Mr. Banyan.
Yeah, that's right. You hurt me with... Well, the thing about Cal, no matter how much I joke about it from time to time, Cal is really solely responsible for any type of real lasting success that I have in my practice with clients. I mean, for those of you that don't know, Cal synthesized 5-PATH, which is a systematic approach to hypnotherapy that is the most thorough, fail-safe approach that really is approaching success 100% of the time. Cal is actually still alive. And he's the most important contribution to the field of hypnosis. So if you haven't heard, you should really check Cal out, get the books, get the training material, and watch your success rate rise. And I have a lot of respect for you, Cal. Thank you.
My pleasure entirely.
Speaking of pleasure, we're going to get into this backtracking series where we have been seeing Van Gogh for a faux case study. All right, Vincent van Gogh, the famous painter, he came in for sessions, and we're taking him through all 5 phases of 5-PATH. Let me make this as fast as I possibly can. He came in for phase 1, which is the preparation, testing, and convincing phase. We tested him, we prepared him for the hypnosis by removing the fears and misconceptions, tested him for the proper level, and convinced him he was in hypnosis. So he's got enough confidence. We immediately segue into phase 2, which is age regression therapy. We follow the negative emotion that he's presenting in his symptomology and intensify it, follow it back to where the problem started, identify and verify the initial sensitizing event back through time, remove the cause of the problem, neutralize the fears and misconceptions, and bring him back. We segue immediately. That puts us in the optimal position and uncovers who the major players are who are responsible for his problem, because the next phase is phase 3, forgiveness of others, where we want to put the major player who was responsible for these problems that he had into a hallucination experience where they're in the room with him and he gets to have forgiveness work done with them, where he can be free of those old feelings of hurt and anger that he's been carrying inside for so long.
Hey, you know, as you're talking about that, this would be a good time to talk about why we use somnambulism and we have to have that depth of hypnosis. You want to kind of tell him why that is?
Absolutely.
Because you brought up the idea of hallucinating.
Yes, absolutely. Well, in the preparation, testing, and convincing phase, when we test them, part of the T and the PTC, we want to test them for what is level 4 on the Harry Aaron's depth scale, which is the threshold of somnambulism. Why is that?
Or deeper.
Or deeper, exactly. we have to have at least level 4 or deeper. Why is that? Because when someone is in somnambulism, they can hallucinate and they feel things much more intensely. And if they can hallucinate, then they can experience a revivification of in an age regression, or they can experience having a conversation with anyone from their past, alive or dead, and also be able to hallucinate becoming that person so that they can unlock what they deeply hold in their subconscious mind as their beliefs are regarding what that person would say if they were in that situation. As I was saying, in phase 3, that information helps them to be free of those old feelings of anger and to forgive those people so that they have less emotional resonance in their life, so that they, you know, slow to boil, calm, cool, collected. Don't get all riled up over the little stuff. That puts us in the... Because after you've forgiven other people, you're in the optimal condition to forgive yourself. So phase 3 prepares us for phase 4. Remember, 5-path is 5-phase approach. It's not a 5-session approach, it's a 5-phase approach. And phase 4 is called forgiveness of others. I mean, forgiveness of self, or FOS, FOS. So once again, we have Van Gogh hallucinate having himself in the other chair so that he can forgive himself for those feelings of anger at himself and those feelings of guilt, where he has a perception that he may have hurt someone else. He's feeling guilt, where he may have think he hurt himself. He feels angry at himself. So we're able to alleviate him of those two different emotions, and also really put him back in charge of his life so that he can start looking forward to challenging experiences and taking those steps to keep moving forward that he needs to make. Do you want to add anything?
Okay, so you are answering my question right now about why we need somnambulism for all these phases, right?
Didn't I talk about hallucination?
Okay. Yeah, just because they hallucinate in the age regression,
yeah,
and they have to hallucinate in phase 3, phase 4, and phase 5.
That's right.
Excellent. Good.
That's right. Yeah, because they have to hallucinate being able to have a conversation with somebody who's actually not there, because they're actually in the chair in the office and they're not going anywhere. So they have to be deep enough to have that type of experience appear as if it were real.
That's right. They're not just pretending. They are hallucinating. That's what really makes this so powerful and so real, and why we can change those perceptions held in the subconscious mind. Excellent. Proceed.
Good. It goes so far beyond imagination or remembering. It's really the real deal stuff. It's the holodeck of the mind, right, Cal?
Absolutely. You got 14 minutes left.
Oh, good, good, good. Now I can talk even... No, I won't do that. So Van Gogh is out there. He's completed phase 4, which most of the time is all we need for most clients. So he's been out there, he's been reconnecting with people, he's been talking to people, trying to sell his paintings and stuff like that. He's not as much of a recluse or an anxiety-ridden nutball that he's been in the past. He's actually starting to take those action steps to change his life. But then all of a sudden, the old behaviors start to come back. He starts to draw back. He starts to feel a little anxious again. He starts to get a little depressed again. He starts to go out less and less and less. And finally, he's just sticking around in his house like he was, painting away, not talking to anybody except his brother. And he calls us up on his special phone that they used back then. You know, it's like one of those coffee cans or whatever. And he says, hey, I'm still messed up. And what do we say, Cal? We say, that's okay. Come on in. I know exactly what to do.
Now, let me interrupt here for a second. Most hypnotists at this point, they have no idea about secondary gain. And they think, oh, I have to give reinforcement sessions. Or what I did didn't work, you see. But we know differently. The five pathers really have a different understanding about this. And L. Ron is going to tell you how we figure out if we need to do more of what we've already done or if there's secondary gain issues going on. Take it away, L. Ron.
That's right. He comes back in for the session. He talks about where he started to fall off the wagon, okay, where the old way started to come back. And what we do from that point is we put him in hypnosis, we do a date-time regression to that significant time period or that event where he started to fall off last week. You know, there he was, sitting at home, feeling anxious about going outside. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. And we do just like we did in the age regression in the first place. We ask him the Fab Five questions. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? And in this case, it's only 4 questions because we don't ask him how old he is because we already know how old he is. And, you know, is that feeling familiar or new? Well, if the feeling is about stuff that we've already worked on, if it's about what's already happened in the past, that fear, whatever it is, and in the context tells us that, we follow that feeling back to finish off the age regression. If it's anger, we put him back into that hallucination experience where he's in the round room doing the forgiveness work. Right? However, to ascertain whether or not it's secondary gain, and you can help me, I give you full free rein to help me out with this if I don't articulate it right, Cal. We want to make sure that the feeling is new. It's concerns about the future.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, you're not used to talking about it, you're used to doing it. So when the client comes in, what we're going to do is we're going to find out, you know, give me a thumbnail sketch of the history of what's happened since I saw you last. And they're going to talk about how they're starting to kind of go back into the old way. And I'll say, don't worry about it. I know exactly what to do. We put them back hypnosis. We put them into the somnambulism. And then what we do is a date-time regression, just like L. Ron said. But where are we going to go? It could be any time that since I saw them last, where they were falling back into the old behavior. And there they, you know, they could say, well, like last Thursday, for example, I knew I should have been out there talking to people about my paintings, but I just stayed home and painted. It was just getting to be like the old days. So, okay, great. So then I hypnotize him. I regress him back to that event. It's not affect bridge. It's date time. Boom, put him there. Find out what he's thinking, what he's feeling, and, you know, what's going on. And what we're going to do is we ascertain, you know, is he still having problems with the stuff we thought we worked on? For example, is he still feeling the fear that we thought we had resolved in the age regression? If so, boom, we're going to go back and we're going to get rid of that fear. If he's feeling anger that we thought we would resolve in phase 3, then we put him right back in that round room with the person he's feeling angry with and get that forgiveness done. If he's still doing some self-loathing, guilting, angering at himself, then we're going to put him right back in that round room and say, hey, I can't do this for you. You want to be free to start living the life you want to live? Do it. Tell him. You hurt me when? And we go right back and get it done. You hear L. Ron talk about this is criteria-based. We're done with a phase when we're done with the phase. We don't just say, oh, for one phase, I'm going to do age regression. Another phase, I'm going to do this. Another session, I'm going to do this. Let me restate that. I'm not going to just go, oh, I'm going to do direct suggestion for phase 1. I'm going to do age regression. I keep saying phase 1. For session 1, I'm going to do age regression for session 2. No, you don't do that. You do the phase you're on until the criteria has been met. And sometimes you need some time to go by to see if that emotion has completely been resolved. Now, if we take him back to like last Thursday when he was having the problem, and you find out it's a new set of concerns, and particularly if it has to do with, boy, now that I've changed, I might lose something or someone important to me. And so now it's a new set of concerns. And that says, aha, this person is afraid that if I get better, I'm going to lose someone or something important to me. And that means PMT, parts mediation therapy, or also called parts mediation work. How's that sound, L. Ron?
Couldn't have said it any better myself, that's for sure.
Sounds familiar, though, doesn't it?
It sounds way familiar. I've heard it so many times. I'm a doing it kind of
guy. So now you're going to take them. We don't bother setting up the round room. Ellen's going to talk about how we psychologically bifurcate this individual and proceed.
Oh, that's a big word. I just learned something. A new word from Cal. One of the things that we like to do is we give them a waking we give them a waking suggestion that, seems like there's a part of you that's just still doing this. Because after they're in hypnosis and we've collected enough evidence, because we got to have grounds to do parts mediation therapy.
Hold on, take your time. You still got 6 minutes left.
Okay. Where was I, Cal? I can't think.
Just keep moving forward. Don't backtrack to any of the stuff like what you do before the session.
Where was I? I'm lost.
You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to give them more than we could possibly give them in 20 minutes. You know, you're trying to take a whole day or two's worth of training and put it in 10 minutes. You just got to keep moving forward, man. Just go ahead. And now the person, but you've got them, and you're going to ask for permission to talk to the part that wants to continue in the old way. And you've got the part that wants to change, which is the self. Proceed.
So they're in somnambulism. I say, there seems like there's a part of you that's still continuing to, still wanting to be a recluse. I'd like your permission to speak to that part directly. Okay? And you want to set up your role as the mediator. And then, you do the assumed close, where they grant you permission. Say, listen, I'm only the mediator here. It's not my job to judge. But I just want to establish some better communication for you here. It seems like I know that you don't communicate with anybody other than the self very often, so thanks for the opportunity. Okay, that's what puts the mediation in parts mediation therapy, right? And right here, what we want to do is start to collect more information from both sides, starting with the still wanting to blankety blank part, the still wanting to be a recluse part. Okay, you say, I know that all parts of you have good intentions, but I'd just like to learn a little bit more about this behavior that you do, being a recluse. I mean, tell me, what's good about that? Or what do you get out of that? Or what about that behavior is good? And we don't judge anything that Van Gogh is saying, the still wanting to do the old behavior part or feel the old way part. We just encourage them to still get it out as much as possible. So he says, well, I get to spend a lot of time with my brother. Oh, good. What else? Well, I get to talk about really interesting things. Oh, that's good. Well, nothing wrong with that. What else? He goes, well, I mean, I really feel a sense of camaraderie and stuff like that. Okay, good. Nothing wrong with camaraderie. Good. What else? Well, I get to show my paintings, and we get excited about that. We talk together. Okay, that's good. What else? Well, I don't really know anybody else, and he's my best friend. Okay, good. What else? Well, we play cards together. All right, nothing wrong with that. What else? And so he starts listing all these benefits that are associated with still holding on to the problem, this part of Van Gogh. And we just encourage it to keep on coming out. All right? After that, what we do is we, since they're psychically divided, like we've done so far, when we want to talk to another part of the person, usually we just tap their forehead and we go, good, be self. And we make the case. Say, all right, self, anything wrong with having friendship? No, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong with wanting to play cards once in a while. No, nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a friend and feeling a sense of camaraderie or anything like that. Or nothing wrong with getting, having a nice family dinner at dinner time. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Good. Okay, am I doing good so far, Cal?
Huh?
Huh? Oh, you're not even paying attention? It's okay. That's how good I must be doing.
Yeah, I am. So, yep, you're doing. Just keep moving along.
Okay. All right. So. What's that sound? Is that like a bombing sound? Oh, yeah, Cal's snoring. I'm sorry, I know it's not as interesting as the forgiveness work, where they're beating the pillow and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so we make a case for the benefit, and then we start to ask the self, okay? Okay, self, you want to make this change, you want to get out in the world, you want to start talking to people, you want to feel safe and secure and good and start selling your paintings. What are some of the things that you get out of that? Okay, oh, well, I get friends. Oh, well, I get to know people. Oh, well, I get to have a relationship. Oh, well, I get to make money. Well, my health improves. you know, I get popular, or I get to live in a better house, I get to have nicer clothes, all these kind of things. Okay, we just keep on encouraging that coming out. We go back to the still wanting to do the old behavior part, and once again make the case. Nothing wrong with wanting nicer clothes, nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself, nothing wrong with feeling confident, nothing wrong with having friends. Is there? No, there's not. So we're getting, we're writing down the benefits and making the sheet three different parts. Okay.
Can I interrupt a moment?
Yeah.
Okay, so now this is what mediators do. They use different words for it, but you're going to have the two parties that are in conflict, and you want to go for a win-win situation. And so what the mediator does is works with each of the individuals or parties in the conflict to find out what their issues are and what their interests are. Now, what we call them is the needs, wants, and desires. And we want to find out there's this part that wants to continue to be reclusive, and then there's the self that wants to change, live a more fulfilling life. And so Elron was taking it step by step. We've got to find out what the needs, wants, and desires are of both of these aspects of Van Gogh. And then, so he finds out what is good about being a recluse. What is good about changing? And then a really important thing that Elron pointed out was we have both of those aspects of the self. The reclusive part and the self acknowledge that the other part's needs, wants, and desires are good. So the self who wants to change is able to look at that list of wanting to keep his brother for social needs and all that kind of stuff. That's good. And what happens is feeling of conflict begins to drop. And then this reclusive part looks over at the list of the self's things, having more friends, having more money, maybe having his work as a painter validated, that those are good things too. And so with that, it's going to be a lot easier to move into this next step, which Elron is going to clearly articulate for us now. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So after you've had them, share their mutual interest and the benefits that each part is trying to get, you go back to the still wanting to do the old behavior part. You say, still wanting to be a recluse part, being locked up in your apartment all day, that's not really the best part about being a recluse, is it? Getting all pasty and staying out of the sun, that's not the best part, is it? Missing meals and not making any money, that's not the best part, is it? It seems to me that you want everything he said from the benefits. You want love and connection, to be friends, to have relationships, money, play cards, have family dinners, all that kind of stuff. I think I may have made a mistake.
Yeah, you looked at the wrong column. The reclusive part wants to have that to ensure his relationship with his brother, if I was following you correctly.
Right. I forgot to mention that the whole time. The whole thing is he's concerned about losing his brother because his brother gives him all that stuff. Okay, those are the benefits that come from keeping his brother, are all those things. So we say, you just really want to ensure your relationship with your brother because you get all these other things.
That's right. That's the secondary gain.
Exactly.
Just to be real clear about this.
Yeah, because, people might, the secondary gain is people might get money, sympathy, or loss of a relationship. Like, if I lose weight, my husband's going to be jealous, and he's going to...
I didn't know you were married. Never mind.
Oh, God. No, I dodged that bullet, Cal. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. So, we say we want to rename that part, because if they're still the wanting to do the old behavior part, they're going to just be a little hard to work with. Say, I've made a mistake. It seems to me like you're not the still wanting to be recluse part. You're just the, what are we going to name him, Cal?
Okay, well, what is his primary interest in being reclusive? What does he want the most?
He wants to maintain his relationship with his brother.
That's right. So what we would do is we'd say, oh, gosh, I've made a mistake here. You're not the reclusive part that wants to be lonely and unsuccessful and home alone all the time. Really, if I look at this list of things that you want, you're the I want to make sure I keep a good relationship with my brother part. How does that sound? And almost always the client will go, Because they feel like they've been understood. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to make sure I have a good relationship with my brother part.
That's right.
I never did one that long. I guess I just learned something.
Growth
experience. You really can do them that long, and it still works.
Yeah.
Cal said so. Okay. All this is moving toward the proposal, where you want to propose a win-win. Okay? You say, look, if there was a way that you could get all these benefits that the self wanted, and you list some of those benefits, without jeopardizing your relationship with your brother, would that be a good idea? Yes. And here we start to brainstorm, you know, well, what are some other ways that you could get out of the house and still maintain a relationship with your brother? Okay, what are some other ways that you could feel comfortable in public and sell your paintings and talk to people outside your house and still maintain a relationship with your brother? Good, good, good. What else? And so we start to brainstorm this list. Oh, well, I could, does your brother like your art? Yeah, he does. Well, why don't you include him with you in the process? Why don't you do because we're free to suggest some things too, okay? What could you do involving talking to people and selling your art that would include your brother in the process to ensure that? Oh, well, I could have an art night at his house and invite people over. Oh, good, good, good. What else? And then we'll even go back to the self and ask the self, what are some ways that we could do that? And the self will start to add more of these suggestions. And we write those down in the middle of the paper. And what we want to do is, you know, not negate anything or not say no to any of these ideas, because after all, it is a brainstorming session. But afterward, we want to pick the best, most rational, logical, doable ways to do that and include those. Do you want to add anything to that, Cal, what I just said, that long track?
I think you're just right on. So one of the things that we mainly got to remember is that renaming that part so that it isn't the reclusive part. Because if we continue to call it the reclusive part, it's not going to want to stop being reclusive. That's like akin to, you know, dying. And so we want to recognize that what it's really doing is good, name it by that part. And then, just like Elron's saying, we want to go into a brainstorming situation where we can come up with as many ideas from both the self and also from the still wanting to keep a good relationship with my brother part, and also coaching from the hypnotherapist to come with a whole big list of things that could be done. And in brainstorming, you don't poo-poo any one of the ideas. You just, even fragments of ideas are good. And then you're going to go through that, and you're going to narrow that list down to, you know, 3, 4, 5 things these two parts could really do to get that need met and not jeopardize the things that they want by making the change. Good. Am I about where you're at there, Elron?
You bet you are.
Okay.
Or you betcha.
You betcha.
At this point, we've gotten the list of the positive things. I'm looking at my cheat sheet here. And we want to have the parts forgive each other. Okay, say, okay, self, I mean, you understand that still wanting to do the old behavior part was just really trying to give you more love and connection with your brother. Do you forgive him for all that? Yes. Okay, and you want to do the reality check of, hey, now that you've decided, now that you've come up with these ideas to do this, this, and this, and that, you ask each part individually, say, hey, is there anything that you can think of that would keep you from holding up your end of the bargain? I mean, do you think that's going to work? I'm going to reality check it, okay, with each part, okay, self. Doing these, and, you know, all these things in the middle, you know, going out and making connections with people, including your brother. Is there anything you can think of where that wouldn't work? I mean, is that really going to work? And they got to agree to that win-win, and you have them shake on it. If there's a little bit of hesitancy, you suggest that they do a trial period. Say, well, would you like to try this out for 30 days or that sort of thing? But when they shake on it, you say, now it melts you back into one person, and now that you've had all this insight that it wasn't just about being, now that you know that it wasn't staying in your house that was what you were after, it was just having this love and connection with your brother. you now know that you can do all these things that they agreed on. You can include your brother in wine tastings and do a gallery presentation with him and reach out to him more, maybe write him more and stuff like that. You will now find yourself in a position where you'll be getting out more and suggestion. You want to add anything to this, Cal, before I wrap it up more?
I think you're doing great. Keep going.
Okay, good. They've passed the reality test, right? And, you know, now that you've had this integration, now that you understand yourself at a deeper level, the internal conflict is now gone. And now you recognize what you really wanted all along, so your intentions can act as motivation from this point on to do all the things you agreed on doing. And then you pick out what those were, the ones that they agreed on that you think are the best ones. Like I was saying. And we do the segue from there. Now that you've had this experience, now that all parts of you are integrated fully, you accept these suggestions more powerfully than ever before, because now you feel safe and secure and you continue to take the steps you need to take to keep moving forward in your life. And you get outside more and your relationship with your brother stays intact because you know what to do now. And now your life has changed. Boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Good job. Well, you know what? I just want to tell everybody I really appreciate Elron, you know, to come in here and to go through this stuff and really share this experience. And I think that this is just a huge amount of information that's going to just benefit the profession, you know, at large around the world. Thank you very much, Elron.
You're welcome. And if you get any hate mail from other hypnotherapist trainers, you definitely have to share that with me. I mean, if you guys have been watching this series, I know sometimes it was a little choppy here and there, but we covered a lot of material. We covered a lot of tracks. I mean, when you think about it, in this episode, we covered parts mediation therapy pretty thoroughly, and the same with all the other phases in the different episodes. And after you watch these a number of times, you're going to really have a strong, even though it may be visceral, understanding of what Five Path is all about. And just, you know, you can use any of the techniques that you've learned here and start applying them immediately in whatever way you can to experience the success.
Well, I think everyone could really recognize that if they really sat down and studied this, in one of our courses for 7 days or 10 days, where we could fill in all the blanks, answer the questions, that it would be a tremendous shift in their paradigm of how to do hypnosis and hypnotherapy and to help people.
Yeah, you just start seeing things in a whole new way.
All right, wrap it up.
If you want any more information on hypnosis materials, or training materials, or classes, visit hypnosis.org. If you want to learn more about hypnosis and what it is and really get your definition straight, also check out that website because there's some great definitions on there in the glossary. There's links. It's just a treasure trove of information. If you want to learn more about what we do here and what I do, visit hypnosiscenter.com and check it out also. If you want to be my friend on OurHypnoSpace.com, join and hit me up, L. Ron Ferguson, and bug me to write some more blogs, because I got like 3 or 4 right now that I haven't published. I'll be publishing 2 right away. By the time you see these, you'll be able to see my favorite, which is the 10 best things about being a five-pather. My name is L. Ron Ferguson. Thanks for watching. Signing off.
All right. Visit hypnosiscenter.com for my class schedule. Lots of free articles, a ton of other stuff. Hypnosis.org, which is the network for professional hypnotists, and also those who want to come into the profession. And of course, and on Facebook, facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. to find out the latest. And guess what? I believe, I don't know, but I think I'm pretty sure Meredith will be back with us next week. And while I'm doing some episodes with Meredith, we're going to, me and Elron, try to think of another little series we can do. And you know what? If you've got an idea, someone you would really like to see us five-path analyze, then just go ahead, leave a comment down there. We love your input. And that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.